Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of ADVA Optical Networking for the full year 2018 IFRS financial results. This call is being recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I now hand over to Mr. Stefan Rettenberger, ADVA Optical Networking Senior Vice President, Marketing and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you, and a warm welcome from my side. This earnings call builds on a presentation which is available for download in PDF format from our homepage under www.advaoptical.com in the About Us/Investors section. Should you not have the presentation in front of you, you may want to access it on the conference calls page in the financial results section of our investor section of our website. Before we will lead you through the presentation, as always, please be informed that this presentation contains forward-looking statements with words such as believes, anticipates, and expects to describe expected revenues and earnings, anticipated demand for optical networking solutions, internal estimates, and liquidity. These factors are discussed in greater detail in the risk report section of our annual report 2018. Please also be reminded that we provide consolidated pro forma financial results in this presentation solely as supplemental financial information to help the financial community make meaningful comparisons of our operating results from one financial period to another. This pro forma information is not prepared in accordance with IFRS and should not be considered as substitute for historical information presented in accordance with IFRS. Pro forma operating income and loss is calculated prior to non-cash charges related to the stock compensation programs and amortization and impairment of goodwill and acquisition-related intangible assets. Non-recurring expenses related to restructuring measures are not included. Unless stated otherwise, all numbers are presented in euro. We will target to limit this conference call to 60 minutes. As usual, Brian will start and provide a business update and outlook, and then Uli will talk us through our Q4 and full year 2018 financials. And finally, we will have sufficient time for your questions, which we'll be happy to answer. So with that, Brian, please go ahead with the business update.
Thank you, Stefan. So we start, as usual, with the business update on page number 4. Q4 revenues reached euro 131.5 million, up sequentially from 126.2 million in Q3 2018, and nicely up year over year from 117.2 million in Q4 2018. This is above the midpoint of our guidance corridor, provided on October 25th, 2018, of between euro 126 million and 136 million. Our Q4 pro forma operating income was at euro 8.1 million, or 6.2% of revenues, and was at the upper end of guidance of between 3 and 7% of revenue. This is the fifth quarter of sequential growth and represents double-digit growth year over year. We continued our solid performance and further expanded our gross margins, giving us more leverage and the ability to continue to invest in technology. And most importantly, for our shareholders, top-line growth and good profitability are building a foundation for driving greater shareholder returns. In a nutshell, our technology investments are delivering increasing returns. Furthermore, we have a broad and loyal customer base without any single customer exposure greater than 10%. This gives us less dependency and greater breadth than we have ever had at ADVA. Slide 5, recap of the growth strategy we laid out early 2018. We have kept course during 2018, remaining disciplined to ensure both stability and continuity. In all four quarters, we were able to increase our revenue sequentially and our profitability has also developed nicely in a positive direction. In the first half of the year, we efficiently completed the integration of competitor MRV, acquired in August 2017, and convinced all relevant MRV customers of the current and future potential of ADVA. In addition to successfully nurturing the existing customers, we have also won new footprint in all regions and extended our cloud access customer base, contributing above 30% in our 2018 revenues. Momentum in the optical space, specifically in the ICP customer base, could have been better in 2018 when comparing it to the first half of 2017. But we did well in our tier one carrier customers, where we were able to leverage the upgrade cycle. And OscilloQuartz grew more than 25% year on year, delivering an increasingly important number to our bottom line. For 2019, we said we were going to leverage our expanded solution portfolio to increase market share and re-accelerate growth. We have pretty much completed a dramatic upgrade of our product portfolio over the last 18 months. This leads to the following tactics that we will use in 2019 to increase our growth. We will aggressively pursue more DCI opportunities with our new FSP 3000 TeraFlex expansion and our holistic open line systems offering. We will win new footprint for flexible programmable 5G infrastructure, leveraging optical, packet, edge, and synchronization, and we will accelerate revenue contribution from our Ensemble virtualization portfolio by winning new designs for NFV-based service delivery. 2020 looks even more promising. We accomplished our 2018 goals and continue to execute against our plan. Slide number 6. Digitization drives investment focus to the edge. It is important to reiterate that despite all macroeconomic turbulences, trade conflicts, and barriers, the mega growth drivers for our industry are fully intact. Our global digitization trend is progressing rapidly across all ecosystems. Applications like the smart workspace, connected home, smart robots, autonomous driving, augmented reality, artificial intelligence, the Internet of Things, they all drive the transformation of the network, a transformation that is built on openness, virtualization, and security, and a transformation that moves the investment focus to the edge of the network. The market is coming to our sweet spot, where we differentiate ourselves by understanding how to use technology to address applications and use cases driven by enterprises and demanding residential customers. The edge is where you need to combine infrastructure knowledge with end customer needs. It is where ADVA performs best. As a company, we have aligned ourselves strongly and it invested exclusively in strategically important future technologies, technologies that enable new digital business models. Optical transmission technology delivers the required bandwidth. Physical and virtual edge technologies bring the cloud and related services closer to the customer and enable instant service creation with a click of a mouse, whereby the packet solutions within this framework allow for secure cloud access. And our synchronization technology guarantees the level of timing needed in a high-performance network. All of our technologies make the difference between success and failure in the digital world. With our focus on the edge and our innovation capacity, we are well positioned for the future. Moving to slide 7, portfolio growth opportunities 2019, and my final slide. Our technology tripod is becoming even more stable. Each leg fulfills an important role in the network transformation happening in every market segment. Edge computing solutions, IoT, and the fifth generation of mobile technology require robust and scalable telecommunications infrastructure with more optical transmission capacity, new models providing communication services, and more precise network synchronization. Our portfolio and technology investments address precisely these aspects. Let me start with the cloud access and then go clockwise. Our packet edge solutions with Ensemble software provide flexible and fast delivery of NFV-based services at the network edge. Several leading network operators have chosen the solution as a key component of their universal customer premise equipment. The commercial implementation is gaining momentum in 2019. Cloud Interconnect, our FSP 3000 platform. It sets new standards in open optical transmission technology. The platform efficiently delivers automated, scalable data transmission that further reduces the cost of gigabit transport. The launch of our new TerraFlex terminal has the potential to change market momentum in our favor. In addition, we'll use our differentiated feature set for private enterprise networks. We're the only company offering the high-performance 32 gig fiber channel transport for business continuity applications. OscilloQuartz, our network synchronization solutions portfolio, is technologically way ahead of our competitors and is actively used by many of the world's leading network operators. We were able to show above average revenue growth in 2018 and continue to expect a positive and, most importantly, very profitable business development supported by opportunities outside the traditional telco space in addition to our strength within the telco space. In summary, we have a loyal, growing global customer base that puts their trust in us and leverages our expanding portfolio in more and more network applications. The number and variety of our customers has never been greater. The distribution of revenue between the regions has never been more balanced. And we currently see no critical dependencies on individual large-scale customers. At the same time, consolidation in our industry has further reduced the number of competitors, further adding to our profile as an innovative telecommunications supplier with a unique blend of innovation and customer focus. In addition, security questions and regional preferences for local suppliers is supporting our global strategy and investments in multiple regions. We expect 2019 to be a positive year for ADFA with accelerated growth in 2019 in the high single digits with further improvements to our profitability. And with that, I hand it over to Oli.
Thank you, Brian, and hello, everybody. Let's go to slide number 9, financial year 2018 at a glance. We ended our financial year 2018 with revenues of 502 million euros. Gross margin contribution improved significantly by 11.2 million euros compared to 2017. Our product innovations combined with active cost management enabled us to deliver a pro forma EBIT margin of 4.6%. Net liquidity increased significantly due to higher cash flows from operations. Next slide, please. Q4 2018 in review. Q4 was a strong quarter for ADFA as we improved all our relevant financial metrics year over year. We achieved our guidance in terms of revenues and pro forma operating income margin. Q4 revenues reached 131.5 million euros, up from 117.2 million euros in Q4 2017. This result is at the upper half of our guidance of between 126 and 136 million euros. Gross profit contribution increased from 42.5 million euros in 2017 to 48.7 million euros in 2018. Our pro forma operating income margin was at 6.2% of revenues, up from 3.8% in the year-ago quarter. This is at the upper end of our guidance of between 3 and 7% of revenues. Net income was at 3.6 million euros compared to a net loss of 0.9 million euros in the year-ago quarter. Consequently, earnings per share improved from negative 2 cents to positive 7 cents. Net liquidity improved by 11.4 million euros to negative 26.8 million euros. Next slide, please. We have now generated 5 consecutive quarters of sequential growth. Gross margin remained at a healthy level of 37%. As a reminder, we report according to IFRS, where amortization of capitalized R&D has to be included in the gross profit. Our IFRS gross margin of 37% compares to approximately 43% according to the US GAAP framework. Additionally, we improved perform operating income sequentially throughout the year, both in absolute and relative terms. Let's move to the next slide. Revenues per region. EMEA continues to be our strongest region and contributed 51% of total revenues, representing a 14.7% increase year over year. Revenues in the Americas increased by 8.5% compared to Q4 2017. The Americas region contributed 39% of total revenues. Asia Pacific had a revenue share of 10% and increased by 14.4% versus the year ago quarter. Next slide, please. Balance sheet. We ended the year with solid credit metrics of 50.3% equity ratio and a gross leverage of 1.4. Compared to 2017, our return on capital employed increased by 3.4 percentage points to 4.8%. Versus the year ago period, net working capital decreased by 3.3 million euros and the working capital ratio improved by 3.5 percentage points. Next slide, please. Cash flow. Operating cash flow increased significantly by 53% or 9.3 million euros year over year. Please note, our operating cash flow throughout the year is subject to certain seasonality due to recurring events, in particularly employee-related costs, especially in Q1 and Q3. Next slide, please. Our guidance for Q1 2019 and outlook for the full year 2019. For Q1 2019, we project revenues of between 124 and 134 million euros, with pro forma operating income margin of between 0 and 4% of revenues. We aim to achieve significant sales growth in the upper single-digit percentage range in 2019. In addition, we expect our pro forma operating income margin to increase beyond the 2018 level. We remain committed to a flexible cost and operating model that allows us to quickly adapt to changing market conditions. We will continue to perform detailed reviews of the expected business development in respect of all intangible assets, including capitalized development projects. In case of highly adverse business prospects, such a review may result in non-cash impairment charges in Q9 2019 and beyond. The pro forma operating income guidance we have provided today excludes any such potential impairment charges. And now I'd like to summarize today's call. Digitization drives network transformation. As a consequence, the networking investment focus is moving to the network edge, where ADVA performs best. Our 3 core competencies are strategically relevant for this network transformation, and we are gaining momentum in multiple accounts. Packet edge and synchronization are growing nicely, with NFV starting to contribute significant revenues in 2019. Also in 2019, our new FSP 3000 TeraFlex comes to market. The innovative product has the potential to change DCI market momentum in our favor. And finally, we see that the industry consolidation and regionalization sharpen our profile as innovator and trusted partner in many accounts and our core geographies. Our Q1 2019 financial results will be published on April 18 in form of a quarterly statement. With that, I thank you and would hand the call over to the operator to open up the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now starting the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Your questions will be answered in the order they are received. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question is from Simon Scores, First Berlin. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I've got three questions, if I may. The first one is, you've said that you expect the pro forma operating margin to exceed 2018 levels. Should we assume that this improvement will stem mainly from a higher gross margin with R&D, G&A, and sales and marketing costs roughly stable? Secondly, you also stated that the gross margin improvement in 2018 came from all three of regional product and customers. Would it be right to assume that the regional shift is likely to play a less significant role this year? And thirdly, you've made several acquisitions in recent years for both customers and technologies. Should we assume that you'll make further acquisitions in coming years? Thanks very much.
So this is Uli speaking. So the EBIT improvement for 2019 we project has a few parameters. So I guess the most important one is what we said, that our revenue will increase at a higher, you know, at high single digit percentage, which of course will add to the bottom line. We also assume better gross margin improvement due to the fact, what we said earlier, that we have a higher share of the synchronization business, but also the NFV business is contributing more to our revenues. Thirdly, our operating cost, of course, will increase simply, you know, inflation-based salary increases, and on a normal level, I would say. So three points, but the most important, I guess, is that we assume a growing top line.
And then the acquisition question is, you know, we will be patient. We had said, you know, we had done one in 2014 and 16 and 17. We had loaded down our balance sheet a little bit. We're well on the way to moving to net cash positive again in end of the year or the first half of 2020. So all in line with what we've been continuing to communicate to you as the analyst community. And the view would be we are continuing to work on our M&A strategy, but we won't pull the trigger until we feel that our balance sheet is absolutely rock solid. We have no need for technology, no need for doing anything to help drive growth, but ultimately to be the billion-dollar company in 5 years or when we want to be there, that will be combined with both an organic strategy and selective acquisitions along the way.
Okay, thanks very much.
The next question is from Robert Grass of Hauck & Aufhäuser. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hey, this is Robin from Hauck. I have also three questions. The first one would be the 5G rollout this year. Do you have any number maybe how big the impact for you might be this year? Might be like say a two-digit million number or anything like that? Second question would be your guidance for Q1, especially on the profitability side, the 0 to 4% pro forma EBIT margin. At least it looks a little bit conservative in my view because you also guide for higher revenues than last year Q1. Is there any impact here why maybe the margin is not a bit better, I would say? Is there anything also on the tariff side possibly? And the last question is relating the tax rate. I think in Q4 you have rather a high tax amount. Was there also any specifics here and what could we expect for 2019 when it comes to the tax rate? Thank you.
So the 5G rollout, clearly, you guys, lots being discussed. I think in the U.S. and parts of Asia, it's going to be a little bit faster. But it's all in the, let's say, the framework of rolling out more wireless infrastructure to drive greater bandwidth, which is a big plus for us. So very important for us is just the general rollout. The more you invest in that whole infrastructure, the more opportunity to drive bandwidth and drive our business. The second opportunity is clearly the backhauling, front hauling, the exhauling of connecting the antenna to the network. And everything's going fiber. As you increase bandwidth, it used to be copper fiber and microwave, then it was fiber and microwave, and it's going fiber. So all good let's say, directional movements for us strategically, and therefore we will have the opportunity to win select 5G, let's say, MNOs, so the true mobile network operators that are investing heavily in infrastructure. It is also a conducive environment because 5G has intentionally tried to build standards and allow different, let's say, pieces to be brought together to solve the networking equation, where in the past it was really one-stop shop with some of the big mobile providers. So that's also very positive for us. The question, does it represent double-digit millions of revenue opportunity for us? Sure, it does. In various different ways, though, driving our business as a whole as people invest heavily into the infrastructure. Two is the whole fiberization all the way out to the antenna, X-hauling, where we're very well positioned with three technologies that are needed, sync and timing, packet edge, and optical. And three, the fundamental transformation of how they're going to buy products. We think for the first time there's going to be some opportunities. An example of this is our DCSG, that is distributed cell site gateway that we've signed up for with the TIP organization with support of Vodafone's and Telefonica's, Telecom Italia's, that you see us actually getting into new segments driven by the ever greater scale needed for 5G.
Right, let me take the next question regarding the guidance. There are a few uncertainties in this Q1, and you mentioned one. The tariff issue is for sure one, the uncertainty here. We, of course, have this somehow considered in our guidance. But also, as always, as you know, with our project business, we have, there's always the question, how many projects can we recognize at the end, or how many will slip into the next quarter? So that's why we are rather a little bit on the conservative side, I would say. But of course, as always, we will try to do our best to outperform the guidance. The tax question, yeah, we had some two actually impacts in Q4 that increased our year-to-date tax rate for 2018 to 22%. One is related actually to the fact that we are eating up some of our NOLs quicker in some entities that we anticipated originally. And the second one has to do with the liquidation and transformation or sale of some assets based on the MRV acquisition, where higher taxes have been applied. For 2019, I guess this was the next question, I would assume a similar tax rate that we have seen year to date in 2018. So I guess the 20% range is plus or minus a few points is probably a good guess.
I would like to expand on one thing on the Q1 issue. You really have to do Q1 to Q1. It is seasonal. And the reason is because you have the stepstone in your OPEX increase at the beginning of the year as you increase personnel. That's the standard in our industry as it goes a stepstone or a step up. And that's just based on a hot market, and that means there are increased personnel costs. The second one is that, you know, we have some pushes and pulls from different quarters, both on cash flow as well as things like vacation accruals. So accruals that impact us for on our P&L, on our balance sheet, and on our cash flows are most negative in Q1. So there is some seasonable issues in there pushing that. So it's not really like for like coming from Q4 to Q1, because there's a multiple millions of euros that are accounted for differently between those two quarters. So I think, you know, business usually, we're not weakening in any way or form. It's just we're moving forward. There is some seasonality there, and you'll see us continue going down our path.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Tim Zerviger of Northland Capital Market. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hello. A couple of questions from me. I guess first, as you consider your guidance for high single-digit revenue growth in calendar 19, to what extent does that, you know, contemplate increased traction on the cloud side from new products. You mentioned the TerraFlex, or you know, is significant new traction there? Does that represent upside potential to your targets, or what are your kind of overall operating assumptions with regard to reaccelerating growth on the cloud DCI side?
So, good point. You know the size of the ICPs. We sell to four of them, different types of products. If we win one or two or three of them with our TerraFlex type of a product, fundamentally you're going to see much higher growth rates, because any one given win can represent a 10% increase in our revenues on its own. So how we put together the forecast is really based on momentum we've seen in 2018, ever evolving. We have holistically upgraded, and I said it very clearly in my presentation, holistically upgraded all of our products in each segment. Our tripod is getting stronger. You see strong growth coming out of synchronization, so you're going to see there another nice uptick, much faster than average growth. Packet Edge, we're doing very well, and our virtualization strategy is market leading. We've won major customers. We probably have 8 or 9 or 10 already. We have major channels pushing that. And then we have some of our new optical pieces, like some of the OLS, TerraFlex into some of our carrier base and things like that. So the growth rate is very much evolutionary based on what we are seeing over the last 12 months and moving into the market. There's much more upside, but let's not count our chickens before they hatch. We're building a business, and I think we're doing all the right things to get better stability, better average gross margins, less dependency on the optical cycles, and very good breadth. See our less than 10%. We don't have a customer that we have to name as a 10% customer. So I think all the pieces are being put together for really good stability, and then there's a bunch of breakout scenarios that we could go through at some point, including one of them is the ICP breakout based on the TerraFlex. But there are a number of other stories that we have that we're pursuing that are pretty hot right now.
Got it. And maybe you could update us on the actual status of kind of bringing the TerraFlex platform to market. You mentioned some expectation of moving that into your carrier customer base. But where do you stand in terms of, volume shipments or availability of the platform, currently? And do you expect that to contribute to revenue, the TerraFlex in Q1?
So we're well on plan. I mean, I have to say, looking back on the Cloud Connect as a whole, we had missed a couple cycles back when we originally introduced the Cloud Connect. Everything was new. This time around, we're absolutely on plan. So everything looks really, really good. Great quality. Our technical specifications are as good or better than what we had committed to. We did Q4 demos. We're doing Q1 POCs and customer, small volume in initiating business there. Q2 is really starting with real shipments and rev rec. Q3, I think, real scale. So everything well aligned, moving forward, feature rich. We didn't have to cut a bunch of features. And that's somehow the sneak around is, they say we're going to introduce it here, but then they cut 92% of the feature availability. We're right on plan. So feel good about it. Feel, that the technical specifications were very, very competitive with what's out there today.
Great. And last question from me. You mentioned in your commentary sort of trends toward security concerns or preference for local suppliers. Gather that's a reference to the headlines we see almost every day with regard to Huawei and ZTE. Are you seeing a real benefit out there in the marketplace as of yet from these types of concerns in terms of maybe projects or more opportunities coming your way as a result, or is that sort of something you think could materialize throughout the year?
Well, it's hard to know why. In general, I'm pretty positive on the business for a number of reasons. One is, you know, again, the technology platform that we have to offer. Two, our people, stability, et cetera. And three is feedback from customers. So, you know, the question that you just asked is a complex one. We are engaging in a number of different areas. It comes from encryption to platforms to technology solutions that are definitely discussions that are being driven by local discussions. So we're seeing already things happening, but is it basically the whole, the China, you know, Inc. competitive positioning, or is it just general world, you know, hesitation and dependency on our own stuff for encryption and security and things like that? So we definitely see it in certain aspects, and that's in the security and encryption side of things. The second thing is that there seems to be more support than ever before for, maybe it's because we're a strong innovation leader, mid-sized company, highly dynamic and very responsive to customer bases, that we're getting very positive feedback from our customers. In the past, it was always, well, you're the small guy, why shouldn't I go with the big guy? And the conversation's more around, it's great to work with you, how can we build value together? So it's a hard answer. I don't engage in those conversations, to tell you the truth, and I've asked our management team not to engage. It has nothing to do with us, and we don't really care. For us, it's all about execution, differentiation, right solutions for our customer base, and that's going to drive value. But there is something to be said for some of these regional opportunities that are discussed, and most specifically, both security and encryption topics becoming prevalent.
Got it. Well, thanks and congrats on a good quarter and outlook for 19. I'll pass it on.
The next question is from Robert Sanders, Deutsche Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. I guess my first question was on NFV. You called it out as a gross margin driver. I think when you bought Overture, it was doing $30 million of sales. You know, can you give an update on where you're running at in 2019? And I've got a couple of follow-ups. Thanks.
So Overture was a little bit higher when we had originally bought it, but we had forecasted it in and around the range that you had just indicated, and we're doing fine there. It's in and around, maybe just a slight touch under what, you know, kind of the original, but now we're starting to grow the NFE space, and that's going to clearly then drive growth off of that base. So we're getting good ongoing business for some of the products that we bought. We're maintaining those products, even adding some features to them, but we're really focused on the NFV piece. And I think, you know, it starts to contribute meaningful revenues this year and profitability. It really becomes a very successful investment, I think, in 2020. And again, we are absolutely market leading. We've won tier ones in every region of the world where even we have weak support infrastructure, we're winning deals. And we've won two of the biggest global channels in the world. I mean, two of the three biggest probably are now working with ADFA on this piece. So you're going to see us build momentum, opportunity, and most interesting is it's not just a telco play. We've got all sorts of verticals, specific market applications, adding certain VNFs that are specific to certain use cases. There's a lot of directions we can flow off and now this software architecture to move forward. So I see it as a slowly evolving business because of the complexity of changing operational models. But the whole thing of flexibility, scalability, virtualization of the carrier network, all great. But we're now running into these enterprise opportunities, edge access solution sets that show that we have some differentiations for other use cases going forward. So I believe that we've kind of bottomed. We'll start now, you know, the old legacy Overture will slowly decline over the next 5 years, and the NFV architecture that we inherited from them will outgrow that decline, and you'll go into a positive mode off that whole Overture acquisition. I would like, you know, just to repeat, because a lot of people have criticized me over the years about the acquisition strategy not bringing enough. I really believe that all three of those acquisitions have played a wonderful role in where we are today as an organization.
And got it. And how do you react to Ciena's decision to spin off Blue Planet? I mean, presumably they did that because they felt like the software business presumably Overture for you is more of a primarily software business, is was better off separated. Have you considered doing something similar if it does take off as a way of kind of keeping your arm's length?
I'd like to think we're always one step ahead. We already actually had built a BU. So we had very much focused. I was just inside joke. But the BU concept, I think they're smart in doing it. I think the focus, since it is a different business model, you really do want to focus in on the different model. Lots of discussions within our own organization about doing it that way. But ultimately, I think that you have very focused leadership driving that business. So we essentially took the Overture ensemble management team, added one of our key leaders to the team, and it's a wonderful management team driving that business forward. Within ATHA, leveraging, you know, the sales engineering teams, the sales organization, the services teams, but really driving as an independent business. And I think it's probably a wise decision of CN on the Blue Planet piece as well, although I don't know their business nearly as well because it's a much broader business base that they're focused on.
Got it. And the last question for me would just be around your front haul business. I mean, we've talked about front haul for a long time, but I think there's been, some countries it's moved fast. Some have been very slow because of the availability of fiber and everything else. Are you basically arguing that there's like an inflection and that CRAN is now suddenly going to go up, you know, in a big way because of 5G or whatever it is? Or you think it's just going to be another gradual but slightly tortured and delayed process of rolling it out?
I think somehow we like to be tortured as an industry. So, I think we should not focus the opportunity that we have in our business segment or market specifically in 5G, I think it's one of the drivers. I do believe there will be both backhauling and front hauling applications, exhauling applications that are coming down. I do believe that clearly the industry is strapped for cash. So I don't see, you know, this $1 billion of additional capital coming anywhere, as you know. And therefore, I think it drives forward. I think it evolves. I think there are cases to be made for different architectures, depending on networks, amount of fibers, coverage, customer base, et cetera. So I don't think I can answer that question straight on. I think you're going to have evolution and not revolution. And people in Europe more specifically will start driving 5G and some urban opportunities and maybe some fixed wireless type of opportunities, suburbia, rural, but it's going to be more evolutionary than revolutionary is my personal prediction at this point.
Great, thank you.
We have no further questions for the moment. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We haven't received any further questions. I hand back to the speakers for concluding remarks.
So thank you very much for all the lively discussion, Q&A, and interaction. And thank you for today's participation. We will end today's call, and a note that the next earnings call will be on April 18th, and we will also publish a quarterly statement. With that, then, thank you for today's participation.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.